Greetings to everyone listening to the TBH podcast. To be honest, we have a lot of sketchy thoughts and we would love to share them with you. Join us,
Manya,
Seher,
and Nat,
for your weekly dose of funny banter, our somewhat controversial opinions, and honest conversations. You can expect a wide range of topics from TV show reviews to childhood nostalgia, from the latest trends to Gen Z culture. Don't worry, we will spill the tea as well. So guys, how have you been? What have you all been up to?
Honestly, I feel so recharged after our trip together. So we went to Lonavala, for those who don't know. And it was a great trip, honestly. Something I needed really, really bad.
Definitely. What about you, Nat?
So after the trip, I feel like I've just been in zombie mode. You know, because it's just been really, really tiring. And yeah, and this week, I have to cook this entire week. So you can expect a lot of cooking catastrophes.
Today, Once again.
And I'm going to attempt to make bhindi again. So that's happening. And today, I cried to Modern Family while having fries. So that's how cooking's going.
I think that's cool.
Yeah, definitely. And you got to have fries for lunch. So you basically win in this situation.
Yeah.
If you look at it that way.
But guys, coming back to our trip to Lonavala this past weekend, I really, really needed it because I feel like I've been in the city for too long and getting away was just what I needed. And honestly, you guys know I struggle with processing time, but I still don't get how the trip is over. We'd been planning this for over a month, or maybe even like 2 months, I'm not sure, and it's over already, you guys.
No, honestly, I think I spent so much time looking forward to this trip, and now it just gets over in a jiffy, and even I can't process time anymore.
Yeah, Sarah's yep. Really rubbed off on us. The passage of time just shocks me.
Same.
See, I'm glad I have some kind of positive effect on you guys. And I'm glad that you guys finally get my obsession and why I freak out over time, because I cannot process it. Guys, it's been almost 2 weeks since we uploaded our first podcast episode, and now we're on to our second one. I mean, please, can someone please freak out with me? I really need the
okay,
support.
Okay, wait, hasn't actually been 2 weeks. I thought it's been 1 week or something.
Yeah, same.
Oh, okay, never mind. But okay, yeah, never mind. See, I can't process time again. It feels like it's been 2 weeks. But yeah, anyways, so that was how our weekend went. We were in Lonavala and we had a great time. But today's podcast, we thought that we would talk a little bit about our childhood and how the three of us met, because it's actually a really interesting story. So for those of you who don't know, we've been childhood best friends and we've known each other since we were about 6-7 years old, I want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember the exact day that we met. So how we met was that we lived in the same building. Seher and I moved in before Manya did, and I remember that it was Seher's sister's birthday party, and there was this quiet little girl sitting on the bunk bed, and I was this kid who had to talk to everyone, but I was also nervous, so I pushed my sister and I was like, you know what, you go talk to this kid, we have to make this kid our new best friend. So I pushed my sister to talk to this girl, and the rest is history.
And by the way, that girl was me.
Yeah, that girl was Manya, in case that's not clear. So that's how we became friends, and then Seher moved to Delhi. So we lost touch and then we reconnected during the lockdown.
Last year in 2020. And it's really interesting because actually when we think about it, the time that I think at least I spent with Manya was only about a year, but we became so close because we practically lived at each other's houses. Nat, Manya, Nat's sister and me, we all lived together basically, and our whole lives revolved around going down to play and hanging out with each other. But once I moved away to Delhi, we lost touch, but then during the lockdown last year, we just randomly reconnected on Instagram and we started talking, obviously, over, you know, video calls because we couldn't meet. And now we're back where we started.
Yeah. And when we DM'd her on Instagram, we were very shocked to know that she'd been in Mumbai for the past 4 years.
And we were still salty about that.
So salty about that.
Because we never knew. The whole time we thought she was in Delhi. And also, I remember when we reached out to her, we were still like, we were very nervous. Nat and I were on call and we were very nervous. Like, does she remember us? Do you think she'll know us, etc., etc.? So, yeah.
Basically, we found out that my sister was following Seher on Instagram and we were like, why didn't you tell us before? So then, I think it was one day after my birthday. I think it was the 20th of April. And both of us basically creepily DM'd her. And I was like, I'll take the morning slot, you take the evening slot. So I DM'd her in the morning and I was like, hi, Seher, it's me, Nathna. And then Manya texted her in the evening. And we were very creepy about it, but Seher was really nice. And then we started having video calls with Seher there. So 3 months back, all of us sat down and Manya surprised us by showing us some childhood pictures. And then we decided that we had to make an episode on her childhood.
Mm-hmm. And this is where the idea of this episode came about. And I spent 1 hour trying to dig our childhood pictures, honestly, because I knew they were somewhere there in my hard disk, but I was just not able to locate it because there was so many pictures in there. But I'm so glad I found it. And honestly, it triggered something really good in me.
Yeah, and it was incredible. And also our childhood was iconic, y'all.
Definitely. And also what I love about our childhood and is that I think a lot of you guys would be able to relate to it because it was truly what growing up in the early 2000s and 2010s was like. You know, being a kid in 2008, 2009, all of the trends around that time, that really defined our childhood and the things we enjoyed together. So that's why I think it would be really cool to go over them because it's been really long since all of us have, you know, talked about certain TV shows we watched or, you know, certain food that we loved and things like that.
Yeah. So, Seher, how would you describe Kid Seher?
Kid Seher. Well, I think that I had a kind of personality change according to a lot of people. But what I mean by that is that, guys, it wasn't that drastic. But I think when I was a kid, I was a lot more outdoorsy and a lot more active for sure. Like I mentioned before, my entire childhood and living in the same building as you guys was, it depended on us going down to play. That's all that mattered to me. I always wanted to go down to play. I always wanted to play a sport, play a game. So yeah, I think I was a really active kid. And also because I mean, there's not that much of an age difference between us. But since I'm slightly older than you guys, just a few months, I think I was also quite bossy as a kid. I now recognize that. And I kind of manipulated all the children into believing my lies.
Yeah, she convinced me that we were characters from Sohan Pari who had been separated at birth. Sohan Pari, if you guys don't know, Sohan Pari was a show that used to come on, I think, Disney Channel. And we used to watch the show. And it was about, I think it was about fairies or whatever. So this one convinced me that we were characters from Sohan Pari. And we had, our purpose was to, you know, just find magic or something like that.
I was the youngest of the group. So, I mean, not the youngest. I mean, there was Nat's sister and also Sarah's sister. But I feel like among us three, so I was the youngest. And I would always get bullied. These people would, and I was also like the tiniest in the group. I was just very tiny. So these guys would pick me up, throw me around everywhere. It was a whole thing.
Yeah, it was actually very creepy. We really treated her like she was a little baby and a doll because, and you know what's ironic now is that Manya is actually the tallest of the three of us. She just, the growth spurt, y'all, it really hit her. But when we were kids, she was so tiny and so cute and cuddly. We would always just, you know, carry her, throw her around.
I used to pull her cheeks a lot because she had chubby cheeks.
Yeah, and we would do this we would play this game where we would like hold her arms out and spin her around.
Oh my this sounds traumatic. Yikes.
I think we really bullied you though.
Yeah, I agree.
Definitely. And also, I remember one more thing about Manya's, about Manya specifically, is that, like I said, you guys, our whole life was about going down to play. So every evening we would go to Manya's house to go call her so that she could come down with us to play. And she was, and she never would finish her homework. So we literally had to wait for her to finish her math homework, and then she was allowed to come down with us.
Yeah, we were basically her tutors at this point. Like, we were sitting and we used to get her to do all of her stuff.
It was a great threat for my mom. Also, my mom would threaten me every day, like, if you don't finish your homework, you're not going to play. So, yeah.
I think I was very quote-unquote tomboyish. Mm-hmm. And I was very, like, into sports, and I was very aggressive as a child. Like, I hit my sister with a wiper once. I have broken chairs. I have thrown line. I had anger issues, y'all.
I think you still do, though.
Low-key. But the last time I did something like really, like I did something like weird was when I broke a chair like 3 years back, because my sister and I had an argument, so I just picked it up and I just threw it, and I was like, I was swearing at her basically, and then I convinced my parents that I bumped into the chair and that's how it broke.
Wait, they were convinced?
Yeah, I was pretty convincing. I can be convincing when I wanna.
Alright, I'm gonna send this clip to your parents. This should be fun.
I feel like they know though. I feel like I told them later on. And they were all like, right. We knew the whole time.
Nice.
What about you, Manya? What were you like as a child?
I don't know if you all remember. I don't know if you all found me stubborn and annoying, but I think I was, yeah.
But why do you say that? I'm sorry, my entire memory is just warped because I used to literally just pick you up and pull your cheeks. So I don't know where annoying and chubby
came. Yeah, we didn't care about your personality. We had one goal, and that was to bully you.
I'm getting out of here.
I would like to reiterate to our listeners and all of you guys that we do not endorse bullying in any way. This is all to be taken in a lighthearted manner. Thank you.
Yeah, we were kids that time. Please.
Yeah, because we really are coming across as crazy people right now. We literally are saying that we used to bully her and we used to pick her up and throw her around. We didn't do it literally, you guys.
I mean, you kind of did.
I think
though.
A lot of us was literal though.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
A lot of it was literal.
I feel like Nat's sister and Sarah's sister, and also me at times, we were all just fighting over which character we would be, because we would always carry out these drama acts and sketches and stuff, and we would replicate some TV shows, and we would always fight to be the main character. So if it was Chota Bhim, we would be Indumati or Chutki, and we would always like fight over that.
Yeah, so they also had a whole Anjali face, because we watched Kuch Kuch Hota Hai, and we really liked Anjali from Kuch Kuch Hota Hai. So then my sister and Manya used to have full-blown fights, like jung chhir jati thi to become Anjali from, like, to play the character of Anjali.
Yeah.
Kuch Kuch Hota Hai.
Oh, also, I think, Sarah, you'd ask me why would I describe myself as stubborn as a kid, because I remember asking my parents for stuff, and I would not, like, I would not budge. I would always just be like, I want it, or else, like, I'm not eating, or I'm going to lock myself in the room, or blah, blah, blah. And I would want it, you know. Like, if I ask for it, I need it. But I've definitely grown out of it. That was me as a kid, not me right now. So do not judge me.
But you know, speaking about, you know, the fights that you guys would have over who wanted to be Indumati and Chutki, and fighting over who would be the main character. You guys, we had main character energy from the beginning. We were ahead of our time. Who would have thought that now everyone wants to have main character energy, but we already had it back in 2010. But anyways, speaking of Chota Bhim, what were some of your favorite shows when you guys were kids?
I think Best of Luck Nikki was actually pretty good. I love that show. I love the whole sibling dynamic, family dynamics and stuff. And I love the whole idea of the show where, you know, Dolly creates a whole video diary for Nikki every day. And, you know, the whole thing about Best of Luck, Nikki. I think it was a good, it was a remake, but it was still pretty good. I like that one.
I like Best of Luck, Nikki too. I think I used to watch a lot of Best of Luck, Nikki as a child. But at that time, it was a remake. I thought this was the original and I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah,
I think Disney India basically created a bunch of popular American Disney shows. But I did watch Good Luck Charlie, and Best of Luck Nikki is based on Good Luck Charlie. And I have to say that Best of Luck Nikki was pretty good, you know, considering that it was a remake. And then, I mean, considering it was a remake, I think it was quite good. Also, where can I find a sister like Dolly? Imagine, she literally recorded a whole video diary for her infant sister.
Honestly,
also,
though.
Can we talk about the fact that that family had like seven kids? They were seven kids
seven?
In total.
Wait, there was Rohan. I don't remember all the people. I don't remember all the names now.
Rohan, Sunny, Dolly, Nikki.
I think there was another one also
there
later
was,
on.
Yeah.
Five kids. Seher, don't exaggerate.
But that's still a lot of kids.
That is still a lot of kids.
Yeah. And what other Disney shows? What other Disney shows were you guys into as children?
I used to watch a lot of Karan and Kabir, which is the remake of Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. And let me just say, because I was a big nerd as a child, I had the biggest crush on Kabir. And I actually met him. To give you guys context, I actually won the Jet Set 2 Disney contest. Okay. And I got to meet all the Disney India stars.
Nat, can you share the story of how you won this Jet Set Go contest? Also, for everyone who may not know, the Jet Set Go contest was basically this contest that Disney Channel had put out where you basically had to I don't know, spot a jet flying on the Disney Channel TV, and if you found it while you were watching TV and you contacted a certain number, then you would win a free trip to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, for most of my life, I thought that was a scam. But this chick actually got in, and I was just like, what?
Yeah,
I was shocked when I remember I had come back from Delhi to visit my grandmom, and I came to your house to say hi to you. This was like 2013.
Yeah.
And I remember your mom literally told me that you were not at home because you were practicing for Jet Set Go. And I was so confused. I was like, this can't be real, because usually when you see these kinds of things on TV, they're about as real as Naptol ads, you know. I mean, you can't really trust how valid it is. But she actually won it. Can you please tell us how you won
yes.
it?
Also, I just have to say, you need to be real Vela to actually like call them at the time.
You can either be Vela or you can be genius. And we were genius. Because what we did was, we had a Tata Sky back then, and there was this record option. So we used to record everything that happened. Like we would just record all the programs and all the shows, and the jet could come anytime. It could come in the middle of shows, it could come in the middle of ads or anything. And then at the end of the day, we would sit and we would replay that. And we would call on all of those numbers. And we did that almost every day for almost, I think, a month or something. And then we won the contest. So I got to meet Kabir 10. And yeah, so I spoke to him. I think he was 2 years older than us. I don't know what his name is. But
also, she melted on the spot.
I was like, oh, Kabir. Okay, so I was talking to him and I was like, oh, it's a big deal. He's a star or whatever. And then he called me cute. And I still think about it sometimes. He gave me 2 seconds of attention.
Yikes.
8 years back, and I still think about it.
I still think about how crazy it is that you actually went.
Same here. And the dedication, the fact that you all recorded, on your Tata Sky, and you all would go back and rewatch it and call up the call up the number. That is actually crazy.
And you know, do you remember incredible?
Getting the call that you had won the contest?
I do not remember getting the call. I think my dad got the call. But you know what's crazy is that it was not just us who went, but also my cousins, my paternal cousins, they also won. So both the families went, which just made it cooler.
We'll be stand a dedicated family.
Yeah.
we
wanted that free Hong Kong trip and we got it.
Nice. Wait, also, can we talk about Sahar's Hannah Montana obsession? She had a whole phase.
Yep, you guys, it was real. I had the biggest Hannah Montana obsession. I used to watch it every time it came on TV. And actually, sometimes it would come at night because obviously it aired during the day on Disney Channel in the US. So I would stay up and watch it. And I particularly remember this time in 2009 when Hannah Montana, the movie, it released... it released in Mumbai in only one theater in all of the in the entire city. And I remember I went with my cousin and my mom for the movie, and every other Hannah Montana fan, stan, everything was there, it was such an experience because the theater was crowded with every, you know, Hannah Montana / Miley Cyrus fan. Such a good experience because I think it was one of the first times when, you know, a Disney movie was releasing in India. I mean, no, I'm not talking about, you know, the classics like, you know, like The Little Mermaid or anything. Obviously, those released in India, but I'm talking about, you know, a show. I mean, a show like Hannah Montana getting a movie and that releasing in India in 2009 was quite a big deal. So I just remember going for it and it was so much fun.
Since we're talking about childhood shows, we have to talk about Chota Bheem. Before we had Marvel Cinematic Universe, we had Chota Bheem Cinematic Universe. And I have watched every Chota Bheem movie that's ever come out on TV or in theater. I was a dedicated, committed Chota Bheem stan.
And if I remember rightly, Seher, did you watch Chota Bheem in English?
I used to shame her so much.
I can't even come up with a reason why I watched Chota Bheem in English because I really don't remember. But for some reason, I just assumed that people watched it in English. But then, guys, when I watched it in Hindi, I realized it was actually much better in Hindi.
Something clicked in your brain. I feel like I must have forced you to watch it in Hindi because I came to your place and I think your sister used to watch a lot of Chota Bheem in English and even you, but... I just remember your sister watching it and I was shocked and I was like, y'all are watching it in English? What?
Uncultured.
Uncultured, yeah. For sure. But I learned, guys. That's what's important. And you know what else I remember about Chota Bheem is that I think Chota Bheem was one of my first ever crushes on a fictional character. I really mean it because, I mean, now we all have crushes on fictional characters. I mean, cue our first podcast us freaking out over Ian Somerhalder as Damon and Adam Driver as Kylo Ren, etc. But for me, genuinely, my first fictional crush was Chota Bheem.
The pride in your voice, wow.
I wanted to be like Chota Bheem. Like, that was my thing. I wanted to be
like
Chota Bheem.
Every time we did the sketch, Nat was always sorted because she always was like, I'll be Chota Bheem, so... She was sorted always, and we would have fights about who will be Chutki and Dumati and etc. etc.
I've always been so smart because I just knew, you know, like that y'all would be fighting. So I was like, I'll just be Chota Bheem.
Also, yeah, because I love Nat, sure.
I love how Nat is just like casually complimenting herself. She's like, I was smart. I was.
I was so smart as a kid.
I have a poo complex. Okay, I just can't.
Nice.
Yes, we know you are your favorite person. We get it. But anyways, what I was saying was that who are your... do you guys remember an instance where you found a fictional character really cute? Like your first ever character crush?
I gotta think. Hold up. I think... who was Dolly's boyfriend in Best of Luck, Nikki?
Ritesh?
Yeah.
His name was Ritesh.
Shaheer Sheikh. It was Shaheer Sheikh.
Don't go on the name, Sahar. Please don't go on the name. I think Ritesh was kind of cute.
And it makes sense that you had a crush on Ritesh because now you also like...
The actor who plays Ritesh.
Yeah. What about you, Nat?
I honestly don't remember.
But okay, I don't know if this is a crush, but I also had an obsession. This is definitely not a crush, but I had an obsession, like a whole phase of watching Doraemon, the show. And oh God, Doraemon, I could not stop watching it. It actually hypnotized me. And it would play continuously for 4 hours. There'd be like several episodes just playing back to back. And I would just be glued to the TV that time.
Mm-hmm. Whenever I didn't study, my mom used to threaten me and be like, you will end up like Nobita from Doraemon. That was very scary to me at that time.
That's wow. Actually such a good threat, because now we know that, I mean, we now understand how annoying Nobita was. And you mm-hmm. know, I truly believe that personal growth is realizing that Nobita was really toxic and actually really stupid. But when I watched it as a kid, I always used to feel bad for Nobita. But now I realize that he was just whiny and needy.
He really was. And he was also really creepy about the most, like with Shizuka and just...
Yeah, he never respected the fact that Shizuka did not care about him.
Also, can we please talk about the greatest teen pop star of all time, Jian?
Yep.
Before there was Billie Eilish and
Justin Bieber,
mm-hmm.
we had Jian, okay?
Yes, we had Jian. See,
like, after the OGs went away from Disney Channel, they just have really not so nice shows now. Like, I was going through Disney the other day and they have this show called Simple Samosa. We get it, Indians love samosa, but you don't gotta make a show on it.
I just have to say, I have no clue what the show is. I've never heard of this.
I think it's about the life of a samosa.
I think I'm like, concerned that's obvious, that you know that. I am more concerned that you know that Simple Samosa exists.
I'm just going to Google this one. Give me a second.
What is it? And it's on Disney Plus Hotstar, everyone. So whoever...
Wait, it's on Disney Plus Hotstar?
Yep. Whoever has access to Disney Plus Hotstar...
You need a freaking premium subscription for this. What even? For Simple Samosa? There's jalebi also, there's dhokla. Oh my God, I can't with this show.
Are you serious? There's jalebi, dhokla, kachori?
Yeah, there is.
Wow.
I'm not even... There's medu vada and stuff.
Oh my God. Listen.
I'm hungry now.
Dude, I cannot do this.
Yeah, well, our time was good. With all the
I
shows
I feel like we had the good shows.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of good shows, can we just talk about how good Barbie Life in the Dream House was?
Yeah, and as a child, I really liked Barbie. But now, growing up, she was just annoyingly perfect. Like, if I had someone like Barbie in my life, I would be Raquel. And now I feel like I just relate more to Raquel. Like, I get Raquel ka dard.
It's roll your R's when you say her name, dude.
Raquel.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that was better. But yeah, I feel like I feel for Raquel, you know?
That sounded so desi. That sounded so desi.
I can't do this.
I love that. Honestly. No, but
also the Dream House. I'm so sorry. Just one second. I just have to mention that the Dream House could be folded. And there was this episode where the Dream House just collapsed. And then Ken got another... Ken got a briefcase. And then he just opened that up. And it became the Dream House. I'm not kidding.
I swear this could have happened.
I mean, I believe it. Anything could have happened. You guys, I'm sorry to go back to Chota Bhim, but he would literally eat a laddu and grow muscles. So, I mean, anything
and
is
that,
possible.
And that soundtrack would start, I don't know if you'll remember, but it'll just be like, Bhim.
Also, no one ever questioned how there was a talking monkey in the show. Everyone just accepted that Jagubandha used to talk.
And more than that, nobody ever questioned that Raju was a 4-year-old toddler in an underwear.
I think three.
A 3-year-old toddler in a blue underwear just hanging out with a bunch of 10-year-olds. I mean, that's debatable.
Also, Chota Bhim, I think it showed like Indian parenting in very questionable light. Because these kids would just walk out in the middle of the night. Like at 11 o'clock, they're going to like beat some monster up. And realistically, our cutoff is 8 p.m., guys. Can I just say?
Yep.
Yeah.
And even 8 p.m. was late.
And also, I just love how nobody ever questioned how incompetent the king and the court system was. Because whenever there was a crisis in Dholakpur, in the freaking village of Dholakpur that needed adults, ministers, an army, the king would just call Bheem, a 10-year-old child, and be like, yo, can you help me out with this? I mean, that's some trauma, y'all, for a 10-year-old child.
Yeah, for real, though.
I just remember every day coming home from school, watching Chota Bheem and drinking Fruity or Tang, whatever I had.
Do you guys Life was so simple.
I know, right? Do you guys still drink Tang or Fruity anymore?
Not Sir, really. We made Tang popsicles in Lonavla.
Yeah, but I feel like I don't drink on a regular basis. I had Tang after ages that night.
That's true,
Me
same.
Me too. Yeah,
and then Fruity also had that whole animal blood conspiracy theory going on.
There was a lot of controversy. So we stopped buying Fruity. I think Fruity was at every birthday party.
Yeah.
Whether Fruity there was a return gift or not, Fruity was there. Omnipresent, everywhere.
Exactly. Fruity was such a staple, guys. I mean, remember, it was at every birthday party, every field trip. Our school would always give us like this white box that had a Fruity and Parle G biscuits
and those like chips, just plain wafers.
Yeah so I still have the visual in my head where it's a white plastic plate and a piece of cake is there along with those basic ass salted chips and then Fruity. And what else?
Some white sauce pasta that was at every kid.
Black forest cake was an epidemic.
Yeah. And everyone would hog on the cherries.
Oh my god, yeah.
But then it used to be two extremes, honestly, because some people did not like cherries at all, but some people would just be like, I need a piece with cherries on it.
I was the former. I'm not a fan of cherries.
I was the one who liked it.
I think every party had like drama related to like blowing the candles. Like there was always this one kid who wanted to blow the candles who was not the birthday child or whatever. And there was always this one kid who wanted to cut the cake, and then there would be like full-fledged fights. And the adults had to like pull them and be like, no, it's the birthday girl's right to cut the cake and stuff.
I saw this meme a few days back, this exact same thing, where a kid literally blew candles and it wasn't even her birthday. So, and they got into a whole mess.
And I feel like we would ostracize those kids later. We like, you know, remember like Cheyenne's party, she blew the candles. Make sure you protect your cake.
No hate to any of the Cheyennes out there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that, but also to add on to like kids fighting and just being nasty in general, there was always that one kid who would put their finger in the cake and they would like mess up the, you know, the decor on the side of the cake that had, you know, the frosting or the the cream. There was always that one person who had their finger in the cake.
Yeah, you're right.
I miss it. I miss that, guys. I really miss those times. That plastic plate, those vinegary chips that had no flavor but was still so addictive. Like, I couldn't stop eating them, you know. We love that.
I think that and the cake was a great combination. And I don't know if you all tried it. I specifically didn't go like, okay, let's just dip the chip in cake. But I think it would just get smushed together at times. Like the chip would always like fall in the cake or the icing. And I would just have that and it actually tasted good. So
it was a fun combo.
For sure. But what other food did you guys, like food or snacks or anything along those lines, did you guys really love as kids?
My parents got Kinder Joy only during like important occasions like birthdays or, you know, something really important like Christmas or something. Because Kinder Joys were actually really expensive, like for a chocolate.
I think there was more excitement with the toy than the chocolate in general.
Yeah. And I think at that time, it used to come for like pink for girls. And I hated all the girl toys, and I loved cars, and I was like, let us defy gender norms. So I used to pick up the blue ones, and I used to play with all the cars and stuff, because I just think they had cooler toys. They had cars and like little trucks, and I don't know, they were really cool.
Nice. I also had a whole Jaljeera phase where I would just have Jaljeera straight out of the packet.
I never had a Jaljeera phase. But mom used to make Jaljeera the drink for me very often, me and my sis. So we used to have that. It was nice.
Right. I also remember one more snack that I loved and was so addictive was cheeselings. I would take cheeselings to school as a snack all the time. And I mean, those things are so addictive, you guys. You can never just eat a few. You will always finish the entire box of cheeselings.
Yeah, I love cheeselings.
You know what else was addictive for me? Cadbury shots. Those like Laddus, Cadbury shots / Laddus. And I could have 10 of them and I'd still want more, honestly. It was so good.
Mm-hmm. I love the Laddus. But I think I had a very big cheeselings obsession because I remember, this is a weird story, but I think I was 4 and we used to live in Chennai at that time. And my mom took me to the supermarket because I used to love going. And then I remembered, it just clicked that there were cheeselings there. And I just left my mom's hand and I ran across the street. This is the main road. And then there was this biker who came and like bumped into me and I had an accident over cheeselings.
Why don't we know this story? Like,
yeah, it was long back, and then I was in the middle of the road, I was crying, and my mom kind of screamed at that guy, and she was like "Dekh ke nahi chal sakte" in Tamil, because Chennai, so she was just screaming at him. And yeah, but I got my, so it was all good. I didn't have to go to the hospital, but I went to the doctor, and you know, I had a few wounds here and there, so yeah. So my cheeselings obsessions, like my cheeseling obsession just ran deep.
Wow. You just said it so casually.
Yeah, that was such a weird story.
But what about did you guys ever like Paddle Pop? Because I feel like I had the biggest Paddle Pop obsession, and I know we've talked about multiple obsessions that we had, but guys, I really, really had this obsession with Paddle Pop, because I remember whenever I would go to my grandmom's house, she would always get it for me, and it was always stocked in the fridge. And I especially loved the jiggly jelly flavor. That was my favorite.
I just agree with everything you just said, because jiggly jelly was also one of my favorite flavors, and I love what, you know, the whole concept of jelly in the ice cream and stuff.
Yeah,
I remember Paddle Pop had very unique ads as well. Like that
good marketing.
Good marketing, like that lion or whatever that creature was. I don't even know, he would like slide down a mountain of ice cream. And I just remember 9-year-old me was mesmerized by it. I would just stare at the screen like, I need the new flavor.
Also, they had very, very cool flavors. Like, no other brand had such cool flavors and concepts. Like, they put jelly and ice cream together. And I feel like they were really trying to be different.
Exactly. No, I agree.
And that's why we liked it, because they were different. I feel like they still sell Paddle Pop though, right?
I don't think so.
I think it's discontinued, because it's been a while since I've seen Paddle Pop in any store.
I don't even see it. There are no ads on TV anymore.
Exactly.
But also, I actually really liked Za and Sabom. So, whole challenge in school, I remember, where who can have the most Sabom's, or having one was actually difficult, to be honest. But it was this really sour candy, for those who don't know.
I could have 3 colas without flinching. But if it was 3 lemons, then it would be really bad. I think colas was easy.
I think it's just the first 1 minute, you need to get through it. After that, it becomes sweet. So it's all good.
Okay, so now that we've spoken about food, we need to talk about games. And since we're on games, I have an intense desire to talk about Club Penguin. We just have to talk about Club Penguin, because it was such a big part of my life and my childhood.
That's it. Lol, I thought there was going to be more. Okay, but yeah, no, I think... So Nan and I, as kids, would always play Club Penguin together, and we would make sure to get in to the same server at the same time so that we could meet each other in the game. And it was so fun, honestly.
Yeah, and we used to talk to each other on our landlines because we didn't have phones back then. Our parents did, but we didn't. So we would be on the landline and we'd be telling each other which server to get into. It was really cool.
And we also had pets and we would play games together, these mini games in Club Penguin, which was so fun.
And I was a spy, so I was like, I'm better than all of y'all. And I had a rainbow puffle somehow. Like, I don't even know how I got a rainbow puffle, but I just did.
I had a blue one because blue is my favorite color.
And I was really committed to Club Penguin. And so I used to go on websites and search cheat codes and, you know, just get all the member stuff because I never had the guts to go and ask my parents because I knew I would get a chappal on my face if I did.
Understandable, honestly.
So, yeah.
I mean, for me, I remember I used to use Google Hangouts a lot and I used to chat via email with all of my friends. So what did you guys use?
Honestly, it was more for chatting with people. I think it was FaceTime and Skype for me.
Okay, but what if you had to, you know, text a friend, but none of us had phones. So did you send emails or anything like that?
No, I don't remember doing that, honestly, no.
I had a landline and most of my friends had a landline at that time. So I used to talk on landline. And the kids that lived in my building, like Mania, I would just slip letters under her door. Yeah, I could have just opened the door, walked in and spoken to her. But I wanted to be all weird and secretive about it. So
we were all cool, made our own language and then wrote the letters in that language.
Yeah.
And then we sent those letters to each other and then decoded it and then sent and then made our own, wrote back and yeah.
And it wasn't like gossip or anything. It was just dumb stuff like come down at 7 p.m. Like that's obvious. She is going to come down at 7 p.m. Nat. Like you don't have to write a letter about it.
Yeah, I remember. But I remember when I was around 11, 12, when I first got my first, when I first made my email ID. I just remember I have these email threads where there are at least 500 to like 1,000 messages with all of my friends because we would only chat back and forth on email and sometimes we wouldn't even say anything important. So for example, if my friend said something on email like hi, how are you doing, I would just reply with fine, and that's how we just had a thread of over 1,000 emails.
Oh wow,
that's wow, cool, man.
But also I think I remember when I had the obsession of playing pen fights, which is not an online game, but literally when we were free in school time, we would just have these pen fights. Do you all ever remember that?
Yeah, we had pen fight tournaments and I was really, really good. And people knew that there were some pens that were better than the others.
Yeah.
So there would be like trading for pens and stuff.
Click Gel was the best in the worst because it had a really good grip, but also it would roll down pretty easily.
Yeah.
And then I also remember loom bands or Scoobies. Do you all remember that?
There was a whole loom band epidemic. Everyone was making it. Everyone was wearing it.
It got very serious, honestly.
Yeah.
Honestly, I truly believe that the people our age right now, slightly older, who have now gone on to study business or have small businesses, it all started by them selling loom bands in school. Trust me, all those people now have small businesses on Instagram. Everyone. I remember in our school, there was a point where we were not allowed to carry loom bands because so many people would just sell it, you know, in school. And it was very odd that a bunch of 9-year-olds were exchanging money. I mean, at the time, it was, you know, it was literally like 5 or 10 rupees for 2 bracelets. But still, the teachers thought that, okay, this is a bit much. Yeah.
But our school had banned loom bands and then pen fights and bottle flips and stuff. And then some kids used to get these little Hot Wheels cars to school and they banned that as well.
I mean, why would you get... I mean, I think getting Hot Wheels to school... Nobody really got... I don't think in our school many people were obsessed with Hot Wheels or actually played with Hot Wheels. A lot of people played with the Beyblades.
I love Beyblades too.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I remember playing with them. But yeah, another thing that was banned in our school was magic erasers.
Oh my God.
Same. Because I remember people, because our teachers basically said that magic erasers, they spoiled school property because, you know, they would leave a mark across the table. And right. I remember people would literally collect the...
Yeah, for those who don't know, can someone please explain what we're talking about? Because I feel like magic erasers, I think once people see the picture, then they can connect. But I don't think, you know, when they just listen to magic erasers, there's something that's clicking in their head.
Magic erasers, they were basically these erasers that actually didn't work for its purpose, but they would, you would basically rub it against your table or your desk and it would leave a colored line. So if you had a blue eraser, it would leave a blue line, a red line, a yellow line, you know, whichever color you had. And people would always peel off those lines and like collect it and make it into a bundle. And I remember at one point it was so rare to find at stationery shops because it was always sold out because everybody had those, that only specific places would get it. And I remember, you know, people would ask each other, oh, where did you get your magic eraser from? And there were like specific shops which had enough stock for the magic erasers. So
yeah. People did find it. Sorry, go ahead.
There were also those really cool pencil boxes with like buttons and stuff. And
yeah,
the buttons, more the status in society. Like that's just how it worked.
More your status.
And they had buttons both the sides, so they could open both the sides too.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's such a tradition. I don't know why, but in ICSE schools, for example, that we always have to wrap our books. I mean, I don't get why it's a thing, but we just have to. I mean, for people who don't know what we're talking about, basically, if you, in India, if you go for an, if you studied in an ICSE school, you most likely had to wrap your book in a brown cover. And
yeah, naked books get confiscated. So
yeah, exactly. And nobody knows the reason why it's a thing. It's supposed to be done, but everyone just kind of followed along with it.
Yep.
I'm actually surprised at the amount of things we remember from our childhood because we've talked about, you know, we've talked about the cartoons we watched. We've talked about, you know, all of those really weird kids snacks that we had when we were children and also all of the games we played. And I'm actually really surprised that we remembered so much.
I agree. This was definitely like a trip down memory lane for me. I think so many things. Like, I just got so many flashbacks throughout this podcast. So it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm really glad that we were born in a time when we had less devices. We didn't have so many devices. So we used to actually go down and play. And I feel like kids these days don't do that. So I think our childhood was really cool.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I feel like we just about missed that mark. Whereas I feel like kids today are, you know, they have iPads from the time they're 6 years old or even, you know, even younger. So I'm glad we kind of missed that mark and we would actually, you know, go out and do things.
100%.
I think we covered everything. But if you guys think we missed anything, do tell us on our Insta page.
And I really hope you guys found this relatable and you could relate to a lot of stuff which we said. So, yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right. On that note, we've come to an end on this week's episode of the TBH podcast. Thank you to our listeners for joining us and for your continued support. Make sure to tune in for another exciting episode very soon. We're your hosts,
Manya,
Seher,
and Nat,
signing off.